Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
Warning. This episode contains foul language, discussions about mental health, and graphic descriptions of various crimes.
Listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week, we have the pleasure of sitting down with a friend and talking about something weird. This week is part two of our first mental health episode, and we're talking about even more personality disorders. My name is Ashley, and I'm joined once again by my best friend and co-host, Lauren, and our hilarious guest, stand-up comedian, Justin Foster. Last week, I taught you all about schizotypal and paranoid personality disorders, and it was so fascinating. I'm so glad I finally got over my fear and discussed mental disorders. This week is even more interesting. Justin is teaching us about antisocial personality disorder, also known as sociopaths. Sociopaths are a super interesting disorder because there are so many people who have antisocial personality disorder. At one, they don't know they have this disorder at all. Two, they'll never seek treatment. And three, they make up a very large portion of the most famous serial killers. Lauren then teaches us about the controversial topic of dissociative disorder, aka multiple personalities. Is the disorder real? What causes it to happen? How do they live their day-to-day lives? And where does each personality come from? Before we get into the episode, I just wanted to say thank you so much to all of our listeners who reached out to tell us about their personality disorders, their anxiety disorders, their depression, their mental health. You guys are all so much stronger than you know, and as much as you say that I make you feel like you're not alone, you all make me feel that 20 times over. Seriously, thank you so much. Before we get into our episode today, there is one order of business we need to take care of. Last week, we put on our Instagram and we gave you guys a challenge. The first listener who wrote in and told us which episode we could find our talks on Skinwalker Ranch would get a shout out on this week's episode. You'd also get a song written by Lauren. Written and performed by Lauren. And you get our eternal gratefulness. Well, a couple of you pulled through, but the first one to do so was Miss Jamie Morin.
Mm-hmm. Who we are so grateful.
Amazing. We already loved her. Now we love her even more.
She sent us a prezi too.
She did send us a present. We posted a picture of it online. It's that really awesome Keep It Weird, like wooden sign that looks like a Ouija board. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. She actually has her own Etsy shop, and you can check out her stuff on Instagram at Cherokee Wild Co. Cherokee Wild Co. on Etsy as well. Etsy.com/shop/Cherokee Wild Co. We're going to tag her in a couple things again. And you can follow her on Instagram at Jamie Morin 16. That's Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, M as in mom.
Mom.
O-R-A-N as in Nancy, 16. Now, Lauren, you have something special for Jamie.
Here we go. You ready for this number one hit song?
Yes.
Oh gosh, this is gonna it's gonna be fine.
It's gonna be great.
Jamie, we're not worthy. You made us the coolest Ouija board sign. You worked hard and didn't skimp out on the design because Jamie, we're not worthy. You're a fun and always loyal fan. We'd pick you to join our weirdo band because Jamie, we're not worthy. Thanks for finding the info on Skinwalker Ranch. You're a star like my favorite golden girl, Blanche. Oh, Jamie.
Boy, that was amazing.
Thank you.
That's, now you know. First of all, that went way above my expectations.
Oh, really?
I literally was like, Jamie, you are a girl and you are on Instagram. You are a girl and you are on Instagram.
I like that too. That has
that
its
was like
own
a Talking
bonus.
Heads song.
Yeah, it is.
I really like that surpassed my expectations. And now I just feel like that has to be the gift for any time anyone does anything for us.
I mean, you're right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so, I'll get to writing.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've cemented it.
Listeners, if you enjoyed that, you better do something phenomenal.
Exactly. Right. So review on iTunes. Maybe we'll pick you.
We'll see.
Share our stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Just be nice to us,
all
right?
Just be nice. I don't know. Just like send us a message. Say you like us. I don't know. Anyways, Jamie, thank you so much.
We love you.
We were legitimately going just absolutely, absolutely crazy trying
to think.
I was
losing my mind. I thought it was every episode but the one that it
was,
pretty much.
As soon as she said it, I was like, yep, that was the one.
It honestly, it felt like it was more recent to me. That's why I didn't think it was episode 3, but whatever.
Whatever. It was episode 3, Journey to the Bermuda. Tyler. One of my favorites.
Love you.
Love you. So next up, we want to talk about antisocial personality disorder, aka possibly what I have.
Maybe no. What
I'm sorry.
Have.
You call me a sociopath.
Oh. I thought you were like self-diagnosed. I was like, no.
Like, no, Ashley.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
No, you're forgetting
right,
your own joke.
I forgot about that. 6 months in between texts.
Yeah, I mean, that's a struggle.
You yeah, okay. Psycho. What's your topic? Well, that, you.
That, you. Literally.
So I got the good one. I got the anti. I wouldn't say the good one, but the real meaty one. You know what I mean?
See, we already knew we were going to say some inappropriate things. The
right.
good one.
Well, I got the heavy hitter.
I got the winner.
Yes.
This was the, you know,
this
the,
was the reason
Hall
for
of
doing
Fame
this
of killers. I have a good roster.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
My
no
bench
shit.
Is strong. Antisocial personality disorder is a mental health disorder characterized by disregard for other people, right? Mm-hmm. So they can show symptoms in childhood, but the condition can't be diagnosed until adolescence or adulthood. They do have 3 characteristics, though, that are pretty common in childhood. And one is wetting the bed profusely. Mm-hmm. One is fires and obsession with fires, starting fires. And the third is...
Hurting animals.
Yeah.
We always discuss here on this podcast.
Right. So I'm not going to get into that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the 3 characteristics. Trivia for you guys.
Oh.
I told you I did my research, by the way.
Yeah.
I was at a cafe in New York doing my homework.
Look at that.
The sun
New
was
York
out.
Was good for
the
you.
Sun was the out. Sun
was
out.
It was a beautiful day. And I'm like, well, this is dark.
This is my
bring
list.
This down a bit.
Yeah, this is the only podcast I've ever done. So, like, last week I did a podcast where it's like we did The Bachelorette in Paradise.
With Aaron?
With Aaron.
Yeah.
My homework was to...
I love Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh,
I was just texting you about it.
That was my homework, was to watch The Bachelorette, right? I did another podcast recently
about
music, and we had to talk about an album. I had to research this album. This is the only podcast that I've had to research on that I don't sleep for 3 days
right.
afterwards.
Yeah, we mess you up.
Just the worst type of nightmares that I've ever had for the show. I'm going to give you A, B, C, or D. More than blank cases per year of antisocial personality disorders. How many cases per year do you think? Is it A, 10,000, B, 20,000, C, 200,000, or D, 100?
D.
C.
C is correct, 200,000. Ah.
So. I only said that because he was like, I have the heavy hitter one. So I was like, it's got to be the most,
yeah.
right?
Wait, was D not the most?
D was 100.
See? I don't listen.
You weren't listening.
Oh, you were too anxious.
Yeah. I literally you was like, D's going to be more.
Ashley just did like a Price is Right move. What's the lowest bid? One person.
One person. I'm not busting.
No washer and dryer for Ashley. You do get the car.
Yes, the Chevy.
So those with antisocial personality disorder tend to lie, break laws, act impulsively, and lack regard for their own safety or the safety of others. So that's important when it says their own. So they have no regard for, they don't want to get caught because they like to think that they're the smartest person in the room. Mm-hmm. And they like to, it's like almost like a game to fool, but they don't care. They don't care about getting caught or going to jail or die. There's that sense of like, if I do this, there's going to be repercussions. It's not there. They don't want to because that means someone else is smarter than them. Mm-hmm. But that regard of like, if I kill this person, I could also be killed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. And also, you know, they don't want to because they don't want to go to jail because they want to keep living their life the way that they are. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, but they're okay smarter too. Than everyone. Right. Yeah. Right. But that's okay too.
So some of the experiences of people with ASPD experience aggression, hostility, impulsiveness, lack of restraint was the one that came up a lot. They may be irritable, manipulative, and engage in risk-taking behaviors. It's also very, very common for them to self-medicate with drugs and alcohol. A lot of times they will try to medicate themselves. And so here's kind of where it gets a little bit dark is they show no regard for right and wrong and ignore the feelings of others. Hmm. So that's sort of like empathy is not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it be like a young child or an elderly woman, like it just doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't matter. It
does not compute.
This is a thing that I want to do. I'm going to do this thing. Mm-hmm. They usually start showing symptoms of aggression towards people. I've talked about animals. Destruction of property is a big one. Theft. Rule breaking. And that's usually before the age of 15. But again, it can't be diagnosed until...
Yeah, because sometimes kids are just shitty.
Sometimes
yeah.
kids just break shit.
True.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't want to be like, my son's shit. A yeah. psychopath because he started a fire. Right. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. It's like, no. Yes, kids like fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't you see know what I mean? Like how big right. the darkness is till they're a little older.
If the cat was on fire... Yeah. Maybe look into that.
Yeah,
right?
It might be a little worse.
I mean, that's like when I was little, I didn't know, but I would take woolly worms mm-hmm. and I would make them, quote unquote, swim in puddles. Yeah. I was drowning them.
Yeah, right. You're a psychopath.
But you didn't know.
But if,
yeah,
but if someone had told me, like, hey, you're making them die this excruciating death, I would have probably been like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I would have been so very sad. Upset about it. Right. But, I was killing worms.
Right. Yeah. I didn't have that. There was some stuff in high school where I would, like I got in with the wrong crowd, right? And I would do stuff, but I still like knew deep down it was like wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the conscience is not there for them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that it's just like the other personality disorders where there's a spectrum.
Well, I was going to, that's at the end.
Okay.
I have that.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I have like a nice little cherry on top.
A chart.
There's Ashley.
Ashley's at the top.
How it's caused isn't fully known. However, certain types of genes may make you vulnerable to developing antisocial personality disorder, and life situations may trigger its development.
Okay.
So,
trauma,
abuse, neglect, that sort of thing. Changes in the way the brain functions may have resulted during brain development. So that can cause.
So like head, like actual physical trauma?
Physical trauma, brain injuries, car accidents, any sort of things with the brain. Risk factors, family history of personality disorders or mental illness mm-hmm. can play into it. Being subjected to abuse, unstable, violent, or chaotic family life, and there's no prevention for it. So you can't prevent yourself.
Yeah, you can't do anything.
No.
That's so scary.
So in some of the people, and I didn't go into too much detail with these because I'm assuming there's 1,000 episodes of your podcast with it, but I would just say some of the names that
have it.
Jeffrey Dahmer, mm-hmm. who I'm sure you guys have had many episodes about.
We've had him on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, really? Was he a good guest?
He was a great. Wonderful guest.
Nice.
Very sweet boy.
Nice. John Wayne Gacy. Mm-hmm.
Ted Bundy, just by the way, is like the most clear-cut example of a sociopath ever.
100%.
Yeah, very charming, very smartest guy in the room. No remorse for his victims.
Yeah.
It's just like... Yeah, like it's almost like we would drink water and breathe air for them. Mm-hmm. It's just like,
it happened.
BTK killer, you know, like mm-hmm. writing letters to the police mm-hmm. because
They can't he could catch. Just
yeah,
brag
he
about
just
it.
Thought
what?
Like I'm above I can you. Do this for three decades and mm-hmm. no one's gonna catch me. No one's caught me yet.
Right. Yep.
And this was funny. This one I did not know. Charles Manson.
Oh, I don't think I knew that either.
Yeah.
I think I thought maybe he felt a little bad, and that's why he had other people
that's what I thought
do
too.
It for him. Yeah. So he was like, I can't
yeah,
do it.
That's what I thought too, but no.
I think
with it.
One of my favorite things about Charles Manson is something that's never mentioned in any movie, any documentary, nothing. The first time he served time in prison, he read a lot of books, obviously, because mm-hmm. he was in prison. This was before the murders. This was before the cult stuff. Mm-hmm. This was when he was just like a guy who was...
Like,
again,
he
was
like theft, right?
Oh,
early on,
Grand
just
Theft
like
Auto.
Yeah.
Like he
not
and like
things, but
no, but a ton of crimes that was right. like you don't need that. You don't need to steal mm-hmm. a car. He just did because
right.
he could and
he could. Yeah,
why not? But when he was in jail the first time, he read a lot, and his favorite books were How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he loved L. Ron Hubbard. He mm-hmm. loved Scientology mm-hmm. and that idea of like the sort of
manipulation. Yeah. Yeah.
behind it. Mm-hmm. And that's a calculated
mm-hmm.
thing. That's a, like, I'm going to do this because
I can't wait
it will
to
allow me to,
people.
Yeah.
yeah.
He's like doing his research did. So he could do it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, he did.
How do I win friends to murder? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
He made it happen.
And like
which
all
is
of this stuff,
part.
All the helter skelter uh-huh. stuff, like right. that was taken from another cult.
Right.
Like he didn't even originate that.
He was just a
he just took
cat
that
at the
idea.
End of the day.
Yeah, he's a hack.
All he wanted to do was manipulate people.
Right. Yeah.
There was a guy from Illinois named Brian Dugan. Have you talked
Dugan
about him?
Dugan sounds familiar,
I was gonna
but
say it
no,
sounds
I don't
so
think so.
Familiar.
Yeah. So I chose him to talk about because I'm like again. I said I'm assuming you guys have talked about the other one so much.
Yeah.
But so yeah, we know John Wayne Gacy. We know Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, David Berkowitz. And
Son
Gein.
Of Sam.
Yeah, so they're all anti. Ooh. But so is this Brian Dugan guy. He raped and murdered a 10-year-old girl. Mm. Okay. And when asked why, like, what was the motive, he was like I don't understand.
He didn't even
they're
get
like,
the
why?
Question.
Like, the motive, like, your reasoning behind it. He was like, I saw a girl and I killed the girl. Like, it didn't really compute.
Wow.
And then he was like quoted later saying, I wish I knew why I did a lot of the things that I did, but I just don't.
He just had no reason.
There
other
was
than
a girl.
There was a girl.
I wanted to kill the girl, so I killed the girl. There was no like, wow, her family or her life or your life or your. It was just no. like, this is the thing and I'm yeah. going to do the thing.
This is this and that mm-hmm. is that.
That is so nuts.
So that was a
can't
just kind of a clear cut quote of the antisocial personality disorder. It was like, I wish I knew why I did a lot of things I did, but I just don't. Consequences don't really mean anything. He truly didn't get it. This guy also told a story. This is pretty interesting. He told a story of when he was young. This is Andy Dugan, the guy who killed the girl. When he was young, a man picked him up outside of a grocery store, put him in a van, and they drove around. The guy had offered him a job. He said, yeah, I'll take it. And so he got in the van and basically offered him money to put on bikini underwear.
What?
And
okay.
And the guy in the van performed oral sex on him, gave him money, and dropped him back off at the mall with $20 in his pocket. Many years later, while watching the news, Dugan recognized the man on TV as John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, shit.
No way.
Yep. And then when and here's the tricky part is when they were like asked like if that had an impact on you, do you think that's why you do the things you use? Like, why would that have an impact on me?
He doesn't even understand that.
Didn't understand.
Holy right. bucket.
And how old was he at the time?
I believe he was 10. I believe he was like 10 to 12.
So he was developing sexually at the time, and that could be seen as a pretty big trauma.
Right.
That was probably directly related to the fact that he turned into a sociopath.
Yeah.
But he didn't even understand that.
No.
He couldn't even grasp that.
Yeah, so they don't have the switch that says it's never right to take a life and B, hey, you did this and you could die too. Like, that doesn't really matter. Again, like we were talking about, they don't want to get caught because they want to continue what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, life is almost like meaningless. Like right. theirs or other people. It's okay. It is what it is. So some more traits, superficial charm and good intelligence.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which I think is like pretty characteristic when like Charles Manson and Ted Bundy especially.
Right. Attracted a lot of women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's definitely street smarts too. Because if you look at their IQs, a lot of the time it's not anything to write home about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty average.
It's all but fake. Like, it's all masked with charm. And,
yeah, but you have that. In order to manipulate someone, you have to be pretty intelligent.
Yeah.
In that way.
Of, like knowing the world a little bit, not necessarily book smart in any way, but
no,
yeah,
but
you
knowing
can make your way on the streets.
But being smart enough to play on people's niceness and people's insecurities and people's not wanting to be rude. And, you know, like they were saying, Ted Bundy never forced anybody into the van.
Yeah.
No.
You know, it was just like, hey, like, help me with this. Like he would have like a fake cast on or like a
or he'd
a
pretend he was a cop and say like, I saw someone breaking into your car. Yep. Come with me.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And just playing on
he
people's
knew
like
the right things to say.
Right. I want to be helpful. I'm going to be nice. And also I don't want to be rude. Mm-hmm. This doesn't feel right in my gut, but I don't want to be rude.
I don't want to offend him.
Right. So smart enough to know how to manipulate people's insecurities and take advantage of them. Yeah. Some of the other traits is like an absence of rational thinking, untruthful and insincere. Lack of remorse and shame, which we talked about. Failure to learn by experience. Poor judgment. Sociopaths are fast talkers. They use many words to cover their behavior. They use many words, like different, like they talk fast to cover like their intentions and their motives. They go to extremes. They're quick to offer big promises, tell big stories. That's why you'll talk to girls like, oh my, I think my last boyfriend was a sociopath because he would promise me this and then we would do this. And then it turns out he was like, you know, cheating and like whatever.
Yeah.
So they'll do that. They'll promise you big things and like I'll promise you the world. And then it's very intense and big stories about themselves, big plans with no basis or experience at all for what they're planning. It's important to go with your gut if you come in contact with these people. That's what it was saying. It's very important to listen to that
inner,
because the outer, they're telling you
some things off.
Right. They're master manipulators and they will literally tell you, they will go to extremes to tell you exactly what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So your brain is going, yeah, of course. But if there's that thing in your gut that's like, eh, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you come into contact with these people, you should listen to that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is a part of you that says this is too good to be true.
I want
to
believe it though.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this person's telling me these things and he wants to fly me here and do this and that. And it's like, yeah, this is like great. Right.
Yeah.
And they know how to play on that.
Speaking of, I have actually dated a sociopath. Mm-hmm. When I dated him, I was much younger, and I just felt like he just treated me super poorly. Like towards the end of the relationship, realizing like, oh, this guy's like treating me really horribly. Like I have to go. If I had been older, I might have been able to deal with some of this stuff, especially knowing that he's a sociopath. I actually reached out to him. I won't say his name, but I reached out to him to be like, hey, we're talking about sociopaths tomorrow. Do you have anything you want to tell the world? And he sent me a shrug emoji.
Oh,
he
my
was
God.
Like,
wow.
That kind of sounds about right.
Yeah, it sounds like the right emoji for a sociopath. Yeah. Yeah, me.
What? But it was just that, like, you know, he would never hurt anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I definitely think that he has that sort of ability to like not, he doesn't want to hurt things and he wouldn't hurt things. I don't think he would set fires or anything like that, but he had that sort of lack of connection and that lack of empathy and just no ability to feel ashamed of things that he had done. Like if he had done something wrong, there was no like shame for it.
Like, hey, you shouldn't
like,
have done
you
that.
You shouldn't have done that. Can you, why did you do that? And it's just like,
oh, I just did it.
I just did it. Yeah. And it was like, as an 18-year-old girl, it's just like, oh my God, how could anyone do that to another person? And like, as an adult, it's like, oh, he literally like,
yeah,
just didn't see an issue.
So you guys have stayed in contact?
Yeah.
He's successfully dating another woman.
He's married.
What's his life like? What does he do? What does he?
Perfect profession. He's an actor.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So it really is like really good for him. He's really wonderful and he's very funny. Mm-hmm. And I love being around him. When I'm around him, I love talking to him. Still very good friends. We were friends long before we even dated. Like we've known each other for a long time, but would never like trust him or rely on him for something.
Right.
Yeah.
Simply because I know him well enough. And I know that, like, I don't know. I just, it's not that I don't think that he would pull through, like he would come through for me, because I think that he, you know, if I was in, I've been in situations where like I've needed his help and he's come through. This was a while ago, but it's just that he's definitely not the first person I would call.
Not top sure. of your list.
Yeah, because I don't fully trust that he would.
Yeah, which is fair.
Care enough to like come through.
To my knowledge, I think that I've met two sociopaths. One, I'm kind of joking about, I'm not sure, but one for sure. So one, it was last month on my birthday in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
I was in a hotel lobby, 3:30 in the morning, waiting for an Uber to go back to the airport to go home. I'd done gigs out there.
Mm-hmm.
I travel with my dog. And if you've seen my Instagram, my dog is this Maltese poodle, yeah. Just the cutest.
A very cute dog,
just adorable. So I travel with him, and him and I, he just loves everything, just loves. And so we're sitting in the lobby, this guy walks in 3:30 in the morning, very handsome, very well dressed, and there's something like in my gut. I was like, man, this
Patrick
dude,
Bateman.
It was very yes, thank yeah. you, yes, perfect. And it just hit me really weird. I was like, oh, this is strange. Maybe it's because it was the hour. I'm in sweats getting ready to go to the airport, and he's like decked out, but you know, like piercing blue eyes, like blonde hair, whatever. And so he comes in and he starts like chatting up the front desk woman, like real charming. And she's like eating out of the palm of his hand. And then he looks and he sees my dog and he's like, oh, hey, puppy. And Luke goes, and starts growling at this man, and all the hairs on the back of his neck stand up. And the guy's like, oh, he must not like strangers. I was like, oh, no, no, no. He loves strangers.
He loves strangers.
Doesn't like you.
He doesn't
just
like
doesn't
you.
He doesn't like you, sir.
And he's never growled at anyone, ever.
Oh,
and
animals
so,
know.
And so I just laid back, and I just let it happen. I was like, I'm not stopping this. Yeah. It's like, that's on you, dude.
Right. This is your fault, sir.
Right.
Oh, my
yeah, yeah.
gosh.
Oh, must not like strangers. I'm like, no, 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 no.
No, no, no.
There was
he
a
loves
darkness
strangers.
To that man.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
They always know.
Animals do know.
And the fact that it hit me first, where I was like, listen, and Luke saw him come in, and Luke was just kind of like, what's
but
this dude
you
doing?
Got the vibe, too.
I got the vibe immediately. And then when he starts walking to Luke, and Luke started growling, I was like, oh, yeah, this dude's off.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Second one, for sure, 100%. We had a neighbor growing up in Texas, and it was the kind of kid who would sit in the yard and have the blank stares at the cars.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was that kid. And
we all know
just
that
like
kid.
The kid that would just like watch the cars
yes.
drive by and just like, oh, this kid gives me the creeps.
Right. Like, see, okay.
Well, I come home, okay? And my mom's gotten a gerbil. I was like, oh, what's the gerbil for? She's like, oh, my God, it's for the neighbor. His gerbil died, and I wanted to like get him a new one. I was like, oh, that's really sweet. And so my mom gives the neighbor kid the gerbil, and then the next day the gerbil's dead. Like, the one she got him is dead. And she's like, what happened? Like, we just got him the gerbil. And the mom's like, oh, it died the same way the other one did. It got stuck in the recliner, and when he was putting the gerbils in the recliner and closing it and snapping their necks.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my.
That is so horrible.
And my mom and I are convinced to this day that kid ended up.
Somewhere
not well,
yes.
not well. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh
yeah, yeah.
My gosh, he can be up to no good.
Right,
there's no chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because that's one of the things that they kind of, you know, when they're when they talk about like killing, hurting animals.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, when you're talking about that, when you're talking about children hurting animals, you have to make the distinction between like fuzzy, warm-blooded animals and like more cold-blooded, like scaly animals.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Bulls are like, you
like
shouldn't
if a kid
kill
kills
animals.
A fish. I'm like, yeah, that's
I
all
know.
Right.
Kid kills a fish.
Not gonna be like too crazy.
Squishes
right.
a bug.
Yeah. Right. If he's skinning cats, like, yeah, maybe.
So
yeah.
True.
But when it's like a fluffy, warm,
like a
sort
domestic
of like
animal,
domesticated
a dog, cat,
animal,
yeah.
that's when it's like. Oh.
We grew up redneck. We used to shoot wasps nests and
yeah. Like, I don't give a
shoot
shit.
Squirrels.
Yeah, critters. We call them
critters.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll never forget this kid. I'll never forget his like blank stares and then the recliner gerbils.
Ugh,
yeah,
yikes.
Yeah, yeah.
That is no good.
So that's my two sociopaths. I'm convinced that dude in Detroit, there was something off.
Yes.
All right, I forgot where I was at. Big stories. It's important to go with your gut. Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about. So they tell you exactly what they want to hear. Even if your brain wants to believe them, trust your instincts. Like if you don't feel comfortable being alone with that person, don't ignore that. So that's important.
That's good advice, just in general.
Here's something interesting that one of the websites I found it. An easy way to spot a sociopath or a somebody with this disorder is to use what they call the 90% rule. So stay focused on their behavior and not their words. Pay special attention to any extreme behavior, things that they do that 90% of people would not.
Okay. Right. That's a good thing to keep your eyes out for.
Right. So extreme behavior is super common, and then quickly covering up with excuses like I was tired, I was under stress, he or she made me do it. It's like so doing something crazy extreme and then being like stressed and overworked. And, and you're like, well, that's – I get stressed and overworked all the time. Yeah. And I've never – you know.
Yeah. And I didn't murder a gerbil in a recliner.
Yeah. They love to blame other people. Yeah, right, right, exactly. Long day at work. And
I'm going to squish this gerbil in my chair.
Squish that gerbil.
Let off some steam from preschool. they love to blame other people. One surprising aspect is to see how they enjoy other people's pain and hardship. Yeah, yeah. In legal cases, sociopaths have been known to smirk, smile, and outright laugh as a victim tells the story.
Yeah, you see court pictures of those sometimes, and it's just straight up disturbing. You're like, how? What? What is wrong with you?
Ugh. And some people, if you like don't know sociopathic behavior, you might take that as something where maybe not when the victim is describing what happened to them, but like when, you know, the lawyer's trying to say this guy did that. You can say girl too, but most of the time it's guy.
We know what we're talking about.
This guy did this or this guy did that, and the guy like smirks or smiles or laughs. You can almost take it, and that's why they are manipulative, because you could take it as like, oh, he obviously didn't do it. He's laughing at what right. they're saying because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
So yeah. There was cases that the online library, Wiley.com, had followed. And one was basically one with a murderer with ASPD in Scotland who had been a troublesome child from the beginning. He theft, he vandalized, he got into fist fights. He was incorrigible already by age 8. Mm-hmm. And in 9, his family moved to Sydney, Australia, in the vain hope that such a drastic change of venue would kind of turn him around. He committed burglaries, car theft, larceny. Kind of ran the gamut of being like just a shithead. He was in and out of juvenile detention facilities, tried LSD. When he was 24, he got married, which inspired the family's hopes that he would now settle down. This is not to be. Soon after the marriage, he cheated on his wife, and then he beat her up. They had a son, and while breastfeeding, the mom fell asleep and accidentally smothered the son. Yeah. So in an enraged high on LSD, he had hallucinations, and he was told to kill 7 people, and his son would come back to life. So he went out and started killing random people in the hopes of reaching his 7. He was apprehended after number 3, so his son never came back. He was sentenced to life in prison.
Oh, my goodness.
And basically kind of turned his life around. He served 23 years, was granted parole. You know, he lived alone. Like, he kind of lived a trouble-free life for the rest of his years. So they kind of use him as an example. He doesn't really like to talk about it too much, but they kind of use him as an example of a kind of someone who has this thing, you know, and had some, you know, went to prison and didn't necessarily feel remorse for killing all those people, but stopped after that.
Yeah,
that was kind of like his, you know, I'm assuming he got off LSD, which probably fueled it.
Probably helped a little, yeah.
Yep. And then they followed another guy who was out killing prostitutes that he was convinced were HIV positive. And that was the guy who would, he would cannibalize them and torture them and just do horrific things to them, and was put into prison and didn't stop, was trying to kill inmates and guards and succeeded. So they were kind of, the example is kind of showing the two kind of spectrums of it, of someone who has antisocial personality disorder and is fueled by obviously trauma of the son's death,
right.
LSD. And then kind of another example is what they were talking about, the person who was just wanted to kill because they wanted to kill and never could stop, mm-hmm. Which kind of brings me, I wanted to put like a little vignette to it too, because it is kind of dark and it's kind of one of the serious ones with, you know, with Dahmer and Charles Manson and the cannibals and all that stuff. But it's very important to note that although they cause a disproportionate amount of pain and misery in the world, fortunately, statistically, only very Few people afflicted with widespread mental disorders, such as antisocial, become killers, let alone repeat killers.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of...
It's encouraging.
It's encouraging. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a hard
nice
life.
To know yes. that yeah. stigmas like that, like thinking that serial murderers are automatically psychopaths or right. automatically like they did this because they had... antisocial personality disorder. It's like, no, mm-hmm. there's a little bit more than that. But it, because they had antisocial personality disorder, they were able to do this for as long as they did.
Right.
And
that's
they
very
were
true.
Able to
they could carry it on longer.
Yeah, carry it on longer. But also they were able to, they didn't feel the remorse that they should have felt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And also antisocial personality disorder can be very beneficial when it comes to careers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is why you'll see a lot of politicians and like a lot of people in power with CEOs, you know what I mean?
Have to have a hard
millionaires.
Exterior and not...
You kind of have to like not care who you step on.
Right.
Well, you know
you
what I mean?
Really
or
be
like
a strong
who
empath
you,
because
yeah.
you would not make it very
You'd
far.
Give all your money away. Or yeah, you, exactly. you know
well,
what I mean?
They like use politicians a lot in the antisocial because of they. It's almost the same traits of manipulation.
Yeah.
But for business sense, for politicians, obviously you want to walk into a room and win over a state.
Yeah.
So it's almost like reading people, saying things that people want to hear, playing on insecurities, playing on fears, and manipulating. But with the politicians, it's a job. It's a business. It's, you know,
right.
being charming and stuff. With the other people, it's to... you know, to lure those people in, to cause harm.
Right.
But it was funny how often... politicians were compared to anti social
yeah, of
behavior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And political parties, how often they are compared to cults.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's the same tactics that cult leaders use.
Right.
Well, cults are, yeah, as long as there's a profit motive, it becomes a cult.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If there's an absence of profit, then it's a little bit different. But yeah, a cult is, right? It's a group of people
mm-hmm.
say what we say, believe what we believe, and give us money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Apparently Jared Leto has a cult, we just found
yes.
out.
Jared Leto's
like Mars cult.
They've saying that he's been in Illuminati since the beginning.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I mean he's so gorgeous.
He is.
And
so
the band
I
is so terrible.
Go to his camp.
And they're
I
so famous.
How does that work?
Yeah,
how
do,
right?
do not
get I've seen him before and it's just like it's weird shapes and they flash images of like
yeah, they're just trying to
well,
get
now
you.
Now they're taking everybody to an island.
Yeah,
so.
They have you seen that?
No.
I posted
it's
something
a news
about
story
it recently.
Right now.
Yeah, Jared Leto and 30 Seconds to Mars, the whole band. You can pay, I think it's like $900 or something uh-huh. like that for 3 days on
like
this
retreat.
Island.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wear white.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a retreat. It's like yoga and meditation, but
yeah.
also intimate concerts with 30 Seconds to Mars. And also there's like, Jared is dressed like Jesus Christ
of
Nazareth.
To him as a prophet.
And they all refer
Nazareth.
To him as prophet.
Thank you for specifying.
Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. Christ.
Not of Glendale.
No, not Jesus Christ of Glendale, of Nazareth.
Yeah, they're calling him a
and
prophet.
And they call him a prophet.
Yeah.
And basically there's pictures of him wearing his white flowy robe and sitting on a podium and like speaking to them. And it's mm-hmm. like, guys, here's the thing.
Right.
That's fucking weird.
Right. We saw sorry. A Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
yeah.
Let's calm down. This is the guy.
Let's all relax here. This dude?
This is the
no,
guy?
No. Okay.
Hot Topic Joker? Come on.
Whatever you
Hot Topic.
Say.
Hot Topic Joker. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to describe it.
The last thing I will say about my ex-boyfriend who's a sociopath, I will say that the risk-taking behavior, that was a big one.
Really?
Where he would do crazy stuff without even thinking about it. And sometimes you would get like horribly injured and horrible, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And
yeah,
I was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
why did you, why? And he's like, I don't know. No.
What's the opposite like, of that?
Is that what you are?
I have
An
that.
Empath?
Yeah, me too.
Like, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm
danger. No, I'm fine.
I'm terrified of everything.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You want to go hiking?
No,
thank you.
No, thank you.
I used to love roller coasters, but in my adulthood, I'm becoming scared of even roller coasters. I'm just becoming wimpier
oh, yeah.
and wimpier no. as I get older.
When I was younger, I think it was in eighth grade, I rode at the time the highest, fastest roller coaster in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on. I wanted to ride it again. And mm-hmm. now I'm like, you no. couldn't fucking pay
no.
me.
I was the kid that would like go to the water park with my friends and family and walk to the top and then be like, see you later.
And
I'd walk back
down the
stairs, like the walk of shame that. All the way down with all the family. Like,
be like,
loser.
Oh, I just, I Yeah, I cut myself.
I gotta head out. I really gotta go to the bathroom suddenly.
I was a spineless water slide.
Yeah, right? Spineless.
You're spineless sadist.
Yeah. You're up.
We moving on?
Yeah.
I thought I had one more thing to say about sociopaths, but maybe I don't. If I do, I'll interrupt.
I skipped all the, I just skipped all the stories. Like, there's like countless cases, and which we can get to if you'd like, but there's one guy who like drove around and was just like killing 10-year-olds and molesting just because like he just wanted to. So I kind of like left a lot of the gruesome stuff out and just kind of want to talk about like the traits and how to spot one and like what to do if you're like, you know, in a relationship with one or like, and so I thought that, but if you want, I have pages of just torture and blood and guts. It literally kept me up for 4 days.
Because we talk about this stuff on most of our episodes. I think we're up to speed.
My Google history needs to be, I need a deep dive.
I need it wiped.
Yeah. I need a deep six, all of it.
We talk about way too many serial killers on here.
That's the thing with like people who are sociopaths. Not murdering sociopaths, but just like have antisocial personality disorder, can have successful relationships. Yep. Like I said, he's married happily.
Yeah, I've totally forgot that it was
but
his wife.
But you do have to.
Wife's
be...
not happy, but he is. Yeah.
She's having a terrible time.
You do have to be in a relationship with a person who understands that you have this disorder.
Right.
And knows how to. I mean, it's just like me and Joe. Like, Joe has to understand that I have an anxiety disorder. Right. He has to understand how to deal with that.
Yeah.
If I'm having a panic attack, he knows, don't touch her. Yep. Don't, because a lot of people would immediately hug me. Mm-hmm. It's the last thing you should do. You should not hug me. That's going to make it so much worse.
Well, it's about like not hiding.
It's the same thing.
By the way, I was just kidding. If your ex-boyfriend's listening to the show, as that joke, please don't kill me. But yeah, it's like dating anyone with like a disease, right? Like this, it's like that open, honest communication with like, this is what I need when this disease flares up and I need you, this is my boundaries and here's what I need you to do for me. And that partner can be like, oh, you're an idiot. Or be like, okay, cool. Like you, like I won't touch you, give you space, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, or if you're dealing with like an alcoholic, right? They have like Al-Anon, like to learn how to live with those people, or like someone who's a diabetic, right? It's like or you have a seizure. It's like that communication with your partner that a lot of the anti-sociopath and what you were talking about, they don't want people to think that they have it, so they don't disclose it.
Right.
So then the partner's like, well, you're acting erratically
and
crazy. Why are you
doing?
Because
they don't know how to deal with it because you didn't tell me
exactly. We can't be open and relate to each other in this relationship. Yeah,
you have to have that open communication.
And there are, you know, if Joe were to come to me someday and is like, hey, I can't do this anymore. That's something that like I would have to live with. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's something that people with personality disorders have to live with a lot. They have to live with like the fear of losing their job, the fear of losing their relationships. You know, my mother works with someone with bipolar disorder and she's a nurse. So it's like, you don't want to fire that person.
Right.
Because how are they going to pay? They still have to pay their bills just because they have a disorder. They still have to pay their bills. But fuck, it's hard to like employ a bipolar person.
It's not for everyone. Yeah. Like, yeah. And it's the same with relationships. Like that, there may be someone who's like, I don't have the strength to be with you. I'm not going to give you the right things. And yeah, it's very sad, but true. But
tough. Tell me about disassociative. Did I say it right?
Or sort of dissociative. I think you might have added a syllable, but I like it.
Dissociative.
So yeah, this is a controversial one. This is
really
these have all been interesting ones, but this one, yeah, there's a lot of battles in the psychiatric world with this one. So multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder, the same thing. I think people say multiple personality, honestly, because it's easier. So we may be saying MPD or DID, so everyone knows as we go forward. This disorder has been around for a very long time, if you really look into history. And some believe that super early cases of demonic possession actually could have been DID, but just nobody knew what it was. And everybody just assumed they've been possessed by a demon or some entity just because another voice, possibly with another accent or another personality, came out.
Or language.
And they were like, well, yeah. And they're like, well, what do we do?
Yeah.
It's a demon.
Call a priest.
Exactly. And it could It could have been demonic possession, but it absolutely could have been DID as well.
They called the priest for many disorders, but it's like you had syphilis and they were like, call the priest.
Call the priest.
This is not okay. Call the priest.
Pray the bumps away.
Pray the flakes away.
The coconuts.
We have been talking about flakes. I don't like it. I think I like have a phobia of flakes. It's really been
affecting me.
Yeah, this is an issue.
Do you like shaved coconut?
I don't. So this is a thing. And I think of dandruff.
How do you feel about Tony the Tiger?
Oh, man. I do like frosted flakes. You got me there. You got me there. That's okay.
You're fine.
I'm okay, guys. In 1791, the first detailed account of quote-unquote exchanged personality was written about a 20-year-old German woman who began to speak perfect French, behave like a French aristocrat, and speak German with a French accent. I also want to say I almost said aristocrat because I love that movie. I'm sorry. It like took everything in me to say aristocrat.
Wants to be a cat.
It's the most adorable possession ever.
I
started singing.
Struggled. Okay.
Now, did she know the language before?
No.
See, that's crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
Not crazy. Sorry.
Right.
For I don't want any.
No.
Be
bananas.
Triggered. Yeah. If
Banana
anyone's
town,
triggered by exorcisms.
Town.
But
that's
wow.
This is like the first detailed account, and they were calling it exchanged personality because she had always just been a German woman, but she spoke perfect French without being taught, and when she would speak in German, it would have a French accent. And when she was this French woman, she remembered everything she did, knew her whole life, knew who she was talking to. As the German woman, she had no idea that the French woman even existed. If she would snap back into her own identity as this German woman, which she was born to, she would say, what are you talking about? Who is this French lady? Like, what happened? I don't know what you're saying to
that
me.
That like, has to be
no
so
knowledge.
Scary.
Yeah. She just had loss of time and didn't know where it was. That's a huge thing that we'll talk about even more. But this case is interesting because they don't know exactly how it started. However, she started to see a therapist. And the therapist was actually able to wave his hand and make the woman switch into personalities. He was the only one who had this power. She clearly didn't. She didn't know what was going on. But he could wave his hand and make her switch between personalities. And so it was believed that this was maybe a case of therapist manipulation, which again, I will mention in a little bit, which goes along with multiple personality disorder. It's pretty creepy and weird. There was also, I'm just kind of going through history before we get into the nitty gritty. In 1860, so like, what is that, 70 years later, there's the case, a pretty famous case of Mary Reynolds. Mary lived in a super religious household and during her childhood was very melancholy, was kind of quiet, kept to herself, was always reading her Bible, just very into her religious devotions. And then at age 19, out of the blue, she became blind and deaf for 6 weeks. She was hysterical and some believe she may have suffered from somatic disorder, which is basically just having very intense anxiety and stress as a reaction to physical pain. And so she was hysterical because of this blindness and deafness, but no one knows exactly how it started. It only lasted 6 weeks, which is very strange. She came back to normal. And then 3 months after that, she was beginning to forget things that she had known her entire life. She had to relearn how to read, how to spell, how to write. And she eventually did relearn these things over time, but her penmanship was horrific. And all of a sudden, her friends and family described her as very witty, very social, a lover of nature, like to be outdoorsy, getting in the world, just
so they
completely
were like, this
different.
Is great.
This is awesome.
I love this girl.
We have a hipster.
Exactly. After 5 weeks, she suddenly returned to her prior self once again. However, the alter egos switched between each other for 16 years until Reynolds reached her mid-30s when she remained in the buoyant, witty ego until she died at the age of 61. So she was alternating and then became the happy one, which like,
and
you guys
then,
said,
like,
I'm sure everyone
the
was
the personality
relieved.
Took over.
Yeah, that personality
like,
kind of won out.
But
yeah,
you have to wonder, where's the
what
original
to
girl?
It?
Is she trapped in there?
That's what's crazy about all of this. We're all holding on to our seats. What's going on? It's a wild good one, guys.
The other girl's like in there. She's like, I wouldn't say that.
I would.
But that
never.
Was good.
That was a good joke
she's
she had.
Killing it.
Man, I would never have thought of that. So the history of defining dissociative identity disorders in the DSM, as we were talking about before, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the very first edition called dissociative disorders, psychoneurotic disorders. That was their first name. In 1968, that was corrected to hysterical neuroses, which basically meant you could have an alteration to your consciousness and possibly an alteration to your identity. In 1980, the DSM changed completely to actually have the term dissociative disorders. And that's when multiple personality disorder first started to come around, thinking that people could actually have multiple identities and that they would lose memory when they shifted between the two. They were starting to learn a little bit more. And then in 1994 was when dissociative identity disorder actually came out to replace MPD, multiple personality, as like, it became the more technical term, but people still say both. And then they actually came up with criteria. This was kind of the turning point where they're like, this is a real thing. Here's what happens. So DID is when there are the presence of two or more distinct identities or personality states, each with their own pattern of perceiving, relating to, and thinking about the environment and themselves. They could have different accents. They could have a different gender. They could just be completely different people, but dwelling in one body. At least two of these identities or personality states recurrently take control of the person's behavior. There is an inability to recall important personal information that is so extensive it cannot be explained away by just ordinary forgetfulness or like, oh, whoops, I'm in a fog. And also the disturbance could not be due to alcohol, drugs, or overly imaginative kids. Like, this has to be over the top, clearly happening beyond any kind of substance abuse, or happening in people who maybe have never touched a substance and they're still acting this way. Usually this is paired with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, self-harm, anxiety, and sadly in a lot of cases being suicidal. You could also have borderline personality disorder, which is just basically being constantly stressed or having anxiety and not really able to leave your house, being terrified of everything, which a lot of people think sometimes that's all this is. And the personalities aren't necessarily like a real thing that's coming out. That's why there's a lot of controversy about it. They think, oh, this is just a result of borderline personality. This is just an extra symptom. It's not its own separate thing. So that's part of the debate. But the professionals that believe DID is completely real, they believe it to be the cause of a childhood trauma, and in about 90% of cases, there is a history of abuse in childhood, while other cases are linked to maybe an extreme health problem during childhood. But either way, something traumatic happened to you when you were young, and then you grew into this.
Sybil.
Yes, Sybil. Very good. I was going to talk about that. Treatment generally involves supportive care and counseling. That's pretty much all they can do for these people. The condition usually persists without treatment, to be honest, because there just isn't enough known on how to take care of it. But it's basically, if you're severe enough, you'll have somebody take care of you probably 24 hours a day and be supervised, and you'll see a counselor to keep your personalities or identities at bay, but you can't cure or get rid of them. There's nothing you can do to say, I'm going to get rid of this personality through counseling.
Yeah, I mean, you can't treat something when you don't understand how it works.
Exactly. That is the main issue with this disorder, is there's just not enough known.
Do you know if it's considered, can they use it as a criminal defense in court?
They can, but again, it's so controversial. So people don't believe it's real.
You cannot use
socio. Yeah. Oh, really? That's
true. As a defense.
I think I did hear that.
I killed a lot of people. Sorry, I'm a sociopathic. Okay.
I guess that's true. Yeah. Like, it's not really a good enough argument.
As a sociopath, you still understand laws.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
You may not yourself believe understand right and wrong, or believe in right and wrong, but you can still
comprehend
law.
Yeah. You know the way of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with DID, it can be reason of insanity. Sure. So it does go along with that. But it is very rare that plea will actually work, because so many people think this is just made up. Mm-hmm. It is believed to affect about 2% of the general population and 3% of those admitted to mental institutions in Europe and North America. DID is diagnosed about 6 times more often in females than males. I feel like this is the first
there we
one.
Go.
Where girls have it more.
Jeez.
Which, again, they don't know why. Something genetic. Girls seem to have it more. And the number of cases increased significantly in the latter half of the 20th century, along with the number of identities people were claiming to have. And it is believed that this is probably because it was more popular in the media. It was starting to become more public.
There were movies about
it. Exactly.
And... remember that movie with Richard Gere and Jim Norton? Is it Jim Norton? No, not Jim Norton. No, Edward Norton.
Edward Norton. Edward Norton. Yeah. I was like, yeah, it is.
Remember that?
Yeah, what's that movie called?
Primal Fear.
Primal Fear. That was so
That's
good.
That's a really good movie.
So good. But he had that.
Yeah.
He would switch and he wouldn't remember or whatever.
Exactly.
Right?
And then... Split, which just came out with James McAvoy,
which is like one of my favorite performances ever. I didn't love the movie.
I was just gonna say, didn't like the movie, James but McAvoy was like, so give good. Him all the same. Awards. Yeah. It was insane.
At least 9, you know.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom. What about
I can't do drum sounds.
Identity?
Identity,
yeah.
Identity. Uh-huh. Yep.
Is that the one with Cusack?
Like, where they're like getting killed off in the hotel.
And that was such a good twist.
Yeah.
I know. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, you don't spoil a movie that came out in 1994.
I know. I'm like, watch the movie, damn it. United States of Tara.
I loved that show.
It got canceled after like season 2 or 3. Way
right,
too soon.
Like, it was.
It was just
I think
getting good.
Season 3, she was getting admitted into a facility.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh hell yes, I want to see like how.
Wild.
Yeah,
and then they're like, bye.
I know, and
she's
then
I'm still
it.
Furious about it.
They canceled it
again. Toni Collette, amazing performance, which I think she did win awards. So good for her.
And that was the introduction to Brie Larson. Hello.
Oh, yes, she was just a tiny tot. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was like a teenager, but you know what I mean. So good. So yeah, it was becoming much more well known. So either people were feeling more comfortable coming forward about it, or unfortunately, a lot of people saw it in the media, heard about it, and tried to use it as an excuse to get away with things. Sure. But either way, it started to come to the forefront. More personality-based DID symptoms include a loss of identity, not knowing yourself, losing time, which that's the craziest part to me. And what we mentioned earlier, you could go into blackouts ranging from like an hour to like 2 months. I was listening to a podcast called Other People's Lives a couple of days ago, and they interviewed a person with DID, and he was completely normal, not going to commit any crimes, just living his life. But he was talking about how like sometimes a identity will come forward. One of his alters, as they call him in DID speak, one of his alters would come forward and take over for 2 months. And he would just feel as if he came back from this deep sleep, and his friends would have to kind of fill him in on what happened. And none of his identities are dangerous, but they're all so different. He's a straight man, but he has a homosexual alter. He has a female alter. He has a 3-year-old little child. I think also an 8-year-old pair of twins, he said. And they like go back and forth and talk as if they're twin brother and sister.
Word.
It's nuts, but he talked. And I
hate
saying
nuts. He just
keeps
cheating on his wife. And, sorry, it's Bill.
That's the interesting.
Sorry, honey. You know
I
it
guess
is.
He said, that's the thing we're laughing about, but he said he has a fiance when he's himself, the host, as he called himself. And he said one of the alters did try to sleep with his fiance. It only got as far as kissing. And then she realized, she was like, this isn't you. And she could tell.
It's like the movie Multiplicity.
Yeah.
Oh, but she couldn't tell. She couldn't slept with all of them.
All of them.
Them all.
Then no, they made a copy of the copy. And it wasn't
Steve. Yeah. Then another bonkers part is the homosexual male has a boyfriend. So it's like he's straight and has a girlfriend, but when he turns into this other alter, he's dating a man. And his fiance.
Or is he?
Yeah, they
is
are
it like
physical,
an online thing?
Which is interesting. The fiance's in on it. She knows all about it. And she's like, I know this isn't you who's sleeping with this man. And I guess she considers herself like best friends with the gay alter. Isn't that fascinating?
Wow.
I know. I'm like, I'm going to give this podcast so much publicity because I don't listen to it on the reg. I found it when I was researching, but Other People's Lives, the episode on multiple personality disorder, the interview is one of the most fascinating things I've ever listened to. And the guy just sounds like us talking here right now. He's like, this is my life. Sometimes I have gotten fired from a couple jobs because
it makes you wonder because what would do that in your brain? You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I what know. Exactly, what would be the science behind that? Like, what would be the science behind me all of a sudden being a British woman or a British man? That doesn't make any sense.
I know.
It's almost as if, like, a bunch of souls got trapped in one body on accident. It's like, it was a fluke. Right. It was like God, like, forward. Accidentally was like, oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, oh, shoot. Well, no. I guess we have to see how this
That's
going to
be
out.
A really strange person.
Well, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. Yeah, the, like, or they won't.
And the German woman who was suddenly speaking French. How is that possible that all of a sudden
that's
she's
a weird
fluent
one,
in French?
Yeah.
Because that's a learned
Yeah, she would
ability.
Have to, where
not,
did she
we're
learn
We're not
that?
Born with the ability to speak other one language.
It'd right. be like if like I just started playing the guitar. Like, yeah. I've never took lessons. Right. You know what I mean? Just, like, shredding on the yeah. guitar. Like, what the, how do you...
Well, that's like people who get hit in the head and
just
can play
say,
the piano.
From yeah. brain injuries.
It's like, okay, hold on.
Hold up.
Yeah, so it is something what? In the brain.
Stop. Yeah. I don't what about the guy's boyfriend that's like, dude, like, you got to come visit more often. Like, I'm trying to have a relationship, and then you go home to your wife for 6 months. And
I
like,
know, but he says he's only in relationships with the people who understand. He's like, I've lost so many friendships, obviously, because some people hear it and are like, I cannot put
I guess
up
that would
this.
Be kind of nice.
I guess get a little kinda, break.
You're just like, only yeah, yeah, partial... go back home. No. I'll see
I
you.
6 months off. From
yeah, yeah.
You have to be so understanding. And he said all of the people who are in his life, they get it. They just, they put up with it. They try to help him the best
and
they
like
can.
And like I said, so like, you know, they kind of like, yeah. they lose time.
Right.
But it's like, where are they?
I know. What are they, like, where are they in the body? Where did they go?
Are they well,
that
doing
means
they,
the
something?
Other person loses time, though.
Yeah.
So right. that person's lost time when that person
so the,
is.
So the homosexual altar also loses time mm-hmm. and doesn't understand.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's how he described it. It's pretty wild. And he says he sees a therapist who, again, in his treatment, the therapist just talks to all of the alters, and she knows how to get them to come forward, and she gives therapy to all of them as if they're a separate identity. She's like, oh, I know I'm talking to you now.
God,
you have issues
cost?
With this. Yeah, he actually made the joke. He goes, I'm only charged for me.
Oh, wow, like, good.
I did have that question. No, he that the other thing, he was like so funny and so personable, and he was very honest about what had happened to him in that when he was younger, his older brother died, who he was very close to. So that was a trauma. He was also sexually abused at a young age. So he thinks that's where like the toddler and then the 8-year-old came from, because those are ages where mm-hmm. important things happened. And then he said he also has an aggressive personality who's not harmful or violent, but is just aggressive. And he said that's a character that almost comes from his abuser. It was like his abuser's personality that he was able to bring forward. Then he also said there was like an anime character because he loves anime, and it's just kind of like all these facets of you but come out as a completely different
they come out
person.
As a personality
yeah, it is their,
that you
they
have.
Are their own person. Whew. I know,
usually results from like extreme trauma mm-hmm. at an age where you're not equipped to deal with it,
yeah,
and you fracture.
Yeah,
that's literally what it is. It's mm-hmm. like you break,
yeah, and it just stops right there. Yeah, it's
that's sad.
It's wild. Again, like what we've been saying with all of these is everyone presents differently who has this disorder. Some are completely functioning. I mean, it kind of seems like this guy, like he's
got it together. He's got a girlfriend.
He's got, together.
He's got a boyfriend.
Yeah. And he said the personalities.
He's on a podcast.
He's on a podcast.
He's a Chad for sure.
He's definitely a Chad. He's doing well.
These losers. This guy's personalities are getting laid. These incels can't even find one.
If you're not getting any, you really need to get it together. He said at one point he had about 25 personalities coming out and now only has 7. And so for that to him was huge. He doesn't know the reasoning why some of them went away, but he definitely has more control. Honestly, it could be, but he said he doesn't know why they go away. But yes, it absolutely could be therapy. But he's down to 7. He says he feels like he has a lot of control. He's been able to hold a job. He's holding 2 different relationships. So you can be functioning, but you can also be severely impaired, and you can be violent, and you can be hostile, and you can not have control of your other identity. So it's unfortunately sort of one or the other. Yeah, but honestly, the most sad part is that we just don't know enough. There are a lot of psychiatrists that practice hypnosis or repressed memory recollection, which we've talked about on here before. And they're the ones that believe DID is extremely real and the result of past trauma. And they believe that their patients come in with their personalities in order to cope with their trauma in their lives. And they are doing the hypnosis to help them work through it and to talk to the different personalities. And they believe that they're helping. The larger portion of psychiatrists, it's actually the majority, believe that the doctors practicing hypnosis are the ones inducing the new personalities, that they are controlling the patient's minds and causing them to turn into these alter egos alters, as the language goes. And they believe that these patients may have existing trauma. They're not dismissing it. And they may even possibly have bipolar disorder. They could have even schizophrenia, but that the personalities come forward after the hypnosis sessions and that the doctor is the one with the control over them, which again goes back to that Mary Reynolds case where she, or no, sorry, it was the German woman who mysteriously had this man who could wave his hand and she would switch between personalities.
But that's not how hypnosis works. You can't be... Have you ever been hypnotized?
I've not.
So you are in complete control the entire time. You can be suggested, you can be suggestible, but you can't, like a therapist can't be like, hey, you run into traffic. Like you'd be like, no. I'm like, you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah. And you're in a very deep, like almost meditative state.
But what if that was the suggestion was like, come for like try to come forward as this, and the person was maybe in a vulnerable enough state to give into it.
It's just been my experience, and from what I read up on it, like you still have
the control.
You're still in control. Yeah. You just be like, oh yeah, that would be nice and beneficial. And
I mean, I believe you, but
I don't know though. I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert on it. So maybe I just know that I've had it done a few times, but I remember being in complete control, and I'm just like. Yeah, I would like to relax deeper or hold up my right hand.
Sure.
But I remember being like...
I'm making the choice.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And maybe these people are making the choice, and so there is something in them that is going wrong or going off the beaten path, but they could also be in such a vulnerable state that maybe they are just more open to
these
different
movements.
Well, it's also bad. I don't know if you're getting to this.
Say it anyway. We'll see.
Well, I was going to say, it's also kind of shitty that some of the most famous cases of dissociative or multiple personality disorder have been proven to be frauds.
Mm-hmm.
Really is shitty for people who actually suffer from whatever it is.
Yeah. Because, yeah, even though there is so much we don't know about it and it is easy to dismiss, like there are people who are... They are having extreme problems and they don't know how else to explain it other than there is another identity within me. But then there's people who are going to court and saying, oh, this my other personality, Kyle, was raping those women, that's like a real example. I wasn't even just kidding. And it turns out later that guy was a complete fraud and he is making these other people look terrible, which is really sad when they have real issues. So it's not the best. It's unfortunate. And when a patient comes into a doctor's office or an ER hearing voices and hallucinations, they're usually believed to be in a state of psychosis and they need further examining. And they could be exhibiting symptoms that belong to a completely other disorder. Even if they're claiming there's other identities, you do need to do further research. It's not always going to be DID, but you shouldn't dismiss it either if a person is claiming this. Like, there needs to be better screening. And I don't know, obviously, I have no idea how that would be possible, but currently the screening is just like a 45-minute interview and filling out a questionnaire to find out the extent of your dissociations. And it's sort of like, I feel like you could bullshit that so easily. So
I was going to say, that's it?
Just change up your handwriting?
That's pretty much all that exists. Yeah.
Move the pen to the left hand?
Yeah, they totally. Don't even talk to you. They just like base it off your handwriting and your answers alone.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't seem like there's enough, but also... We just don't know enough. Sure. It keeps coming back to that.
They can't test the brain for it or anything.
Right.
Gotcha.
So research is needed to determine the prevalence of the disorder in those who have never been in therapy. I think that is what these two psychiatrists, August Piper and Harold Mirsky, are just two of many doctors who are like, hey, we need to look at people who have never been in therapy because it seems like there could be some issues with people in therapy and hypnosis. And we also need to look at the prevalence rate across cultures because... I mean, it's different in cultures, like there's reincarnation and all these things across cultures where it is a huge belief to take on different identities. But like, where are we seeing it the most? What are the ages when it's happening? Because they're also noticing no children have it, which maybe it's because the trauma has to happen when you're a child, similar to what you were saying before.
And also children have things like imaginary friends that they talk
totally,
to.
Totally. Which so you're like, kind oh, of it's like, just well, playtime. Yeah. There's just lots of things that are unaddressed despite several decades of research already that we haven't covered. It's not being given enough attention. I think it's getting dismissed. But we have to figure it out to learn how to assess and treat it. And luckily there are some psychiatrists and doctors who are trying to look into it further, but yeah, it's a difficult one. But, I was going to read a couple of cases where it seems pretty plausible that these people had something going on, starting with one of the most famous ones. Apparently a lot of people know about it. I had never heard of it. Have you guys heard of Billy Milligan?
I don't think so.
Yeah. It was like, who is this guy? But it was everywhere on the internet. He actually apparently is the inspiration for M. Night Shyamalan doing Split. It was based off of this guy.
Wow.
So in 1978, he was brought into court on several counts of rape, aggravated robbery, and kidnapping. And he garnered national attention because he pursued a plea of insanity, arguing that he had two different personalities that committed the crimes, and it was not him. This defense, especially for the time, was insane. So everybody was losing their minds. Like, what is this guy talking about? But the defense actually worked. Milligan was found not guilty, and the judge committed him to a psychiatric hospital. He actually escaped for 4 months in 1986, again claiming it was his alter who escaped, was recaptured, put back in prison, was released again in 1991, I believe, for time served, and then died from cancer in 2014. And I did not commit any more crimes after he was released the second time. Maybe he was able to get his alters under control. But the judge said it was the strangest case he's ever seen because this man was able to snap in and out of his alters in the courtroom in a way that he's like, I just don't think anyone could fake that. Like, wow. He became a completely different person. The judge prior to that had no belief that the MPD, DID even existed, but he was so convinced by this man, and so was the jury. And psychiatrists came in and questioned him as well and said, this man has something going on.
Something's going on. He doesn't belong in Gen Pop.
No. Gen Pop for sure. Psychiatrists have suggested that Milligan had as many as 24 personalities, including a Yugoslavian communist, a three-year-old girl.
Man, could you imagine being on that jury?
Right?
Like, every day you're like, I don't know what's going to happen today.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Who is going to come in?
A prim and proper Englishman named Arthur, who was an expert in science and medicine. Alan, an expert manipulator. Tommy, an escape artist.
That's how he got out of prison.
Got him out of prison.
A guy, I don't think it has the name, but a guy who had a Robin Hood spirit and claimed he was like a vigilante and doing it for the good of all. Adelana, 19-year-old lesbian who cooked for all of the personalities and craved affection. And allegedly, she was the rapist. Not always the robber or murderer, but the rapist. So that's Billy. And apparently there's a book on him, The Minds of Billy Milligan. And then also they say that this was mostly who M. Night Shyamalan was looking after. Because even in his movie, there was a young girl character. Maybe it was a little boy.
A young child. And like the British, like.
Right.
Housekeeper, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think he was kind of using those personalities as an example, but it was one of the most wild cases.
Whoa.
And then the next story is a woman named Juanita Maxwell. She was a maid in a hotel. In 1979, she was charged with beating a 73-year-old woman to death at the hotel where she worked. The woman in question was Inez Kelly. And Maxwell insisted that she did not kill Kelly, but her brash personality Wanda Weston had. Maxwell always came off as quiet and prim. Weston was super chatty. She bragged about smoking weed. She walked on the wild side. And she had no problem admitting on the witness stand that she bludgeoned Kelly with a lamp because Kelly had refused to return a pen that she borrowed. That was her reasoning, that she bludgeoned this woman to death. And Maxwell, again, very similar to Billy, Maxwell's transformation on the stand spooked onlookers so much that the court had no other option but to find her not guilty by reason of insanity. And apparently Maxwell also had like an eighth grade education, I think, at most. But when she turned into Wanda Weston, was very intelligent, kind of like had street smarts, like we were talking about, was very witty, was clever, could hold a conversation. And when it was just Juanita Maxwell, she was so quiet and didn't really know the answers to things, couldn't put a sentence together as well, and just like was very... She just did not have the education that came off when Wanda was talking. So it's like, how? How did her brain power change?
How did her level of education change?
Yeah, how do you change?
Yeah.
Like, she knew more. She understood
she
more.
She knew more.
She knew more stuff. No, I just, like, I can't even wrap my head around it. I can't even form a sentence right
she
now
knew
because
more
I'm
things.
So blown away. She knew more things. She knew the way of the world, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, whereas Juanita seemed to not at all. Maxwell was committed to a mental ward with the full support of her husband, Sammy. In 1988, soon after she was released, she landed in jail again for robbing two banks in St. Petersburg, Florida. By this point, she had excelled to seven personalities, just beyond Wanda. But Wanda was still pinned as the culprit of the crimes. She went back to jail for a few years and then was released went into a mental institution for a little bit longer, released again, and now she's in her 60s now, and she's just like married still to the same guy, Sammy, and just in therapy and living her life. Apparently she has it under control. She claims that she still has, I think in the last interview, it was in 2006 was the last time she was in the public eye, just to kind of check on how she was doing. And she said, how you doing, Juanita? She said the personalities are still there, but she's in therapy and they are being controlled and they're being talked to. And she's
Wanda's now in therapy.
Yeah, Wanda's in therapy. She's trying to get her life together.
Wanda's the one that needs therapy. Juanita's fine. Wanda needs.
Wanda, we need to talk.
Wanda Weston.
Wanda Weston.
It sucks too, because you know Juanita was the one in jail.
I know.
For sure.
And then she gets out
and Wanda was like, ha ha,
we're going to rob some banks.
Yeah. Where you been this whole time?
Where have you been?
Yeah. So those are two cases where it's sort of like, well, what else? What else was going on there? I don't understand. Yeah, but then just, I'm not going to tell the full story, but this dickhead named Billy Joe Harris, who was arrested in 2011 for being one of the most wanted men in Texas. He raped many elderly and disabled women.
How many?
Let's see.
I mean, one's too many.
I don't know if they...
Oh, I thought she said 90.
Oh, no. No. It honestly could have been that many. They said they like still don't think they've solved all of them. But his DNA also linked him to burglaries, and his DNA was found over the span of 2 years in several counties around Texas. So he was like getting around.
Okay.
But yeah, raping several elderly and disabled women. Then he went to court, claimed it was his alter named Bobby. And I guess when he was trying to go in and out of the alters, the jury was trying to like suppress their laughter because they said it seemed so absurd. They weren't buying into it. They're like, this guy is,
he's putting on a show.
He's acting a little bit. And then, speaking of putting on a good show, the reason he was caught officially of being guilty of this is because there was a recorded phone call when his phone was tapped to his girlfriend saying, I did such a good job. I put on a good show today in court. And they were like, gotcha, sir.
Dummy.
You idiot.
Dummy.
And yeah, he was convicted and he has a life sentence in jail. So didn't work out for him.
Could be a good actor.
I know. Apparently you weren't a good enough actor because the jury thought it was hilarious. But yeah, there is still so much to be learned about that disorder, but it is fascinating.
Oh, it's so fascinating.
Yeah.
Sybil is one of the like hardest movies I've ever watched. Mm-hmm. Holy crap. That's awful.
Yeah, it is.
But that case, they kind of proved it was fraudulent.
Yes,
which is unfortunate because it's one of the most famous cases of that disorder ever.
One of the most
well
known, but it's not even real.
Yeah, it's not real.
There's so many frauds, which is sad.
Yeah, it's like welfare, right? It's like the people who need it versus the people who pull up in
who
their
really need
BMWs
it.
I know, and it's like
to get their check. Yeah,
exactly. Right. But those people are so much more few and far between than the people that actually need welfare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But because that small percentage of people take advantage of that system, it's ruining it for the rest of the people that need that system. Awful. That's not what we're here to talk about.
Nope. But that's very sad.
Well, that's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Thank you for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Justin.
That was very nice.
I'll text you more.
Yeah.
Every
see you guys. See you guys in 2 years.
I know. You won't be seeing Ashley for a long
time. I'm bad at it.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you for coming
on. Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Do you want to plug anything?
Sure.
Your Instagram is
Justin Comic.
Justin Comic, that's right, at Justin Comic. Yeah. I mean,
find
we
me.
Always tag you and stuff, so
yeah, find me,
we'll
find
tag
me.
You again. Actually, every single time I get into my car, I see your face, because I still have your
my
CD.
Album.
Yeah, your album
I love that.
Is like right in the door of my car, like the actual like case is in the door of my car, and every single time I get in, I get to see your face.
So that should be
it's
a constant
sweet.
Reminder to text me back that even wasn't enough.
Now you
me
really don't
staring at her in traffic wasn't enough.
She's still like, I don't need to text
still
him.
Like,
right now.
I should text him when I'm done driving. That's why I don't text him.
That's
drive.
Right. You're law abiding.
And where are you going next?
Texas, Florida, Des Moines, Iowa.
Mm.
And then I'm home for the rest of the year.
Whoa, really?
Yes.
Will you be performing around L.A. for the rest
of
the year?
Yes, October, November, and December. I am around L.A. Yep.
You have all of your dates, all of your show dates?
JustinComic.com, and then I just post it all on Instagram, too.
Okay.
There it is.
Love it.
We'll find it. Right. You guys should go watch Justin in a show. He's very funny.
He's very good.
Yes.
Maybe Lauren and I will come.
That would be amazing. I need a mom's night out.
Yeah.
I want to
go. Can Wilder get in?
Yeah. Of course. Can a baby come?
Bring everyone.
Yeah. 18 and over. I'm glad you're back, too, Lauren.
Yes, me too. Hi, listeners. I've missed you lots and lots.
I've missed you so much.
I know. It was really sad being away, even though Ashley held it down and I've been laughing hysterically at all of the episodes.
I did okay.
Werewolves was phenomenal. So Ashley's the shit, as we all know, but I'm so happy to be back. It's great to be here.
And next week, we are going to have another edition of Listener Ghost Stories. And I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. They're our favorites.
They're so much fun.
They are.
This one's going to be extra scary. I say that about every single one. I don't know if that's true. I might be lying. Follow us on social media as well at Keep It Weird Cast. And that's across all platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. Check out our Patreon page for minisodes and newsletters at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast. And check out our Etsy store for t-shirts, hoodies, tank tops, magnets, buttons, and more at www.etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast. Justin, what's our sign off?
I don't know. I was just thinking about how I should get on Etsy and get a t-shirt.
Well,
you should get on Etsy
should.
And get a t-shirt. 100%
sure.
Hello?
We
should have a discount for our
For guests.
Yes.
I wear your button on stage.
I know.
Yeah. I feel like you did take a picture of it once on stage. I love that. Thanks for representing. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how good it's representing a button on a jacket on a stage, but you know,
something.
After the show, people see it and comment on it. Yeah. I have a LaCroix pen, a fuck you pen, and a Keep It Weird podcast pen.
Perfect. Honored to be a part of it.
And what's our sign off?
Keep it weirdo, weirdos.
That really, might be my favorite.
I'm not really good at
improv. Weirdo,
weirdo, you weirdos.
You know what? We'll go with it.
We gotta introduce you.
Yes.
I have to bust Ashley's balls a little bit.
No, what? What?
Oh,
no.
I'm excited.
Just a little bit.
Why? No.
It's okay. You can cut it out if you don't like it.
Oh, God. Okay. I mean, I will. That's fine.
It's just one long bleep.
Beep. Beep.
Like,
beep,
let
beep,
me
beep.
Tell you what Ashley did. And that's
how it went.
Down.